Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, now I'm in a great mood today. I'm excited about church. I'm going to carry you guys with me if I have to. I work hard for you people, all right? Let's do this. We got the Word. All right, here we go. I want you to turn over your Bibles to, let me see. Where should we start? Let's turn in Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. We've been talking about belonging. Oh, lights. Belonging in the family of God. And today I really want to look at a different part of it. We talked about how we're designed, we're made with an innate core desire to belong to something. It's a basic need, and it is strong. And we got to make sure, we've talked about these last few weeks. Last week we had Blaine Bartell. He was fantastic. If you weren't here, I encourage you to get the listen to the message online because it was so good. But we've been talking about belonging in the family of God, belonging, and there's just a part of us that wants to belong to stuff. And, you know, and we see that in our society, especially here in America. You know, how many people in here belong to Sam's Club? How many belong to a gym, right? How many belong to anything? You know, we want to be part of something. And we got to be careful because that desire in us to belong, to be part, if we're not careful, we'll belong wrong. And, you know, that's where peer pressure comes in, where we want so much to be part of something, to be accepted by a group, by a peer group, that we will change who we are, will change a part of us to become part of them. And that's called peer pressure. And peer pressure doesn't just affect middle schoolers. Peer pressure affects everybody. And, you know, and some people are like, oh, I've never had peer pressure. Everybody has had peer pressure at one point or another. Even the really pretty girls, they've had peer pressure. Even the athletes at school, they've had peer pressure. Everybody deals with it. And so if we're not careful, if we don't hook up to the right thing, that innate desire, that strong just craving to be part of something will cause you to belong wrong. And you'll get hooked up in the wrong thing. And see, and that is a danger. That is something we got to watch out for, and we got to make sure that we belong right. And you say, well, I don't know what it means to belong wrong. I tell you, I've seen people, I've done it, I've seen it, I've watched it, belong wrong just because they don't have the strength to get out of something they're in, or the desire to just be with somebody. How many times have we had a friend or a girl or a guy, and they just want to belong with somebody, and so they lower their standards, they lower their values just to get somebody. Anybody know anybody like that? They're probably all in second service, though, right? All those guys, probably. But, you know, we've probably all done it. We've seen it. And we're just like, man, what is wrong? That person's not even your type. That's totally not what you said you were looking for. But the desire to just belong, to just be part of something, to just do that will cause you to belong wrong. And so we got to be careful that we hook up with Jesus and we belong right. Because when we hook up with him and we get our identity from belonging in the body of Christ, when we realize who we are in Christ, it's going to give you the strength to say, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. You know, as you grow in the things of God, sometimes there's places that you have been, there's things that you have done, but as you're growing in your relationship with Jesus, one day you're there and you're just looking around and you think, I don't belong here. Anybody ever experienced that? I don't belong here. This isn't my place anymore. You know, I've told this story many times, but it changed my life dramatically. When, you know, I would never forget this. I was standing on the front of the store, called the front end of the store that I was working in, had just gotten promoted again, had a really great future, and just God just spoke to me. Two times in my life, I have felt that I've heard the audible voice of God. Now, I just felt that way. There was no thunder. There was no bush. I just felt that way. You know, where you're just kind of like turn around like, who said that? And the Lord said this to me. He said, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. It wasn't my place. You know what? 2 weeks later, I was on a plane headed to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I put my 2 weeks notice in and I was gone because I didn't belong there. And I don't want to be somewhere I don't belong. But we got to be careful that we don't belong wrong. And so we got to make sure that we're hooked up to the right place to get our belonging need met. Because let me tell you something, people aren't going to do it for you. They might do it for a short time, but they can't do anything like Jesus can. Amen? Amen? And so here we go, over here in Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. Let's look there. It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God is so much a family guy. Amen? God is a family God. He is your Father. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But just in this one verse, we see three areas where God is saying, you belong. You are part of something. Because let's break this down. Where he says, you can be part. He says, do not fear, little flock. You know what? When you become part of the flock of God, he becomes your shepherd. And we've been looking at Psalms 23. Oh, if you ever open your Bible and you say, I just don't know what to read. I just don't know what I need. Psalms 23 is almost always what you need. That's a pretty good ring, right? All right, focus. What was I saying? No, I'm kidding. But you know what? If you ever just are just at a loss, you ever just been at a loss, maybe you've just been hurt so bad or something just seems so overwhelming or life just you're just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know about you, but I've been there. If you're ever in that place and you're just saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need. I don't know where to go. Listen, don't read Lamentations. That's just not a good idea. Because you know what Lamentations is? It's a whole book of lamenting. You know what lamenting is? It's complaining. There's a whole book in the Bible about complaining. Don't read that. Open it up to Psalms 23. Remind yourself that the Lord is my shepherd. Remind yourself, like the Message Bible says, I have everything I need. Remind yourself that you may be going through a valley. Everybody say through. You're going through a valley, but you don't need to fear because the Lord is with you. Amen? Amen. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. You know, go there. And it reminds you, I'm part of the flock of God. He is my shepherd. And we've learned and we know that a shepherd's going to feed you. He's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to direct you. That's what your shepherd does. And see, we see all through the Bible, you can start from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and you see that God is a together God. Just in Ephesians, where it says that we've been raised up together, right? Right there, the word together is in that chapter 5 times in 3 verses. God's a together God. He wants you to be part. He wants you to belong. And we've learned these last few weeks, you say, what am I going to do to belong? You know, at Sam's Club, you got to pay something, right? Then they give you your card with your picture on it. At the gym, you got to pay something. Then they give you a little thing on your keychain, makes you feel thinner, makes you feel better about yourself, even if you never go, right? I got this thing. I got my little thing, you know. And so we've got to, what do we got to do to belong to the family of God? The Bible says that God has given us the privilege, the right, to be children of God, and all we have to do, how many remember? Believe. If you believe, you belong. But religion would say, oh, you got to pay, you got to do this. No, that's Sam's. At Sam's, you got to pay a membership fee. With Jesus, to belong in the family of God, you believe, you belong. Aren't you glad God's so good? Amen. People make stuff complicated, not God. God says, if you believe on me, he gives you the right and the privilege to be a child of God. If you believe, you belong. Whenever the enemy tries to question, you know, and he still does, when he says, are you really saved? You say, I believe, so I belong. And that's the end of the story. And when he says, well, what about I believe? What about I believe? Amen? Because you know what? He's got a what about for all of us. He's got a what about for everybody. Some people's are bigger, some people's are smaller, but you know what? God sees them all the same. If you believe, you belong. And so let's keep going here. He says, do not fear. See, he's saying, listen, if you're in the flock, you don't have to fear. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. You know what? You can be part of a family. He becomes your Father. Amen. Oh, isn't that good? Now, you got to be careful because so many people in our society, as soon as you say Father, you go right to your biological father. And that may not be a good experience. But you've got to train your brain. Say, train my brain. You know, there's a movie, Train Your Dragon. We need a movie called Train Your Brain. Because your brain needs to be trained to think different. And so you got to train your brain. Whenever you hear father, if you go right to biological or stepfather or whatever your experience is, everybody's got a different experience. You got to train your brain to raise up. Say, nope, my heavenly father. And one good way to do that is start saying that. Because what you say trains your brain. Amen? What you say trains your brain. And so start saying. Every time the Bible says Father, write Heavenly Father. So you're reminding yourself. So your brain's not going to go down where the biological goes. It's going to go up where heaven goes. Amen? My Heavenly Father. Because everybody doesn't have a good father experience. And let me just tell you this. The reason you don't have a good father experience is because one of the enemy's number one jobs is to destroy the father figure in the home. He wants to train you to not trust Heavenly Father because you can't trust biological father. And so one of his number one goals, number one jobs, is to goof up dads. That's why if you're a dad, you got to press in harder because you got big shoes to fill because you are an earthly representation. That's what God designed. That was the original plan. How many can see that God's original plans got a little messed up? Right? The original plans got a little messed up. But his original plan was that the earthly father would be a representation of our heavenly father. But sin and crazy and all that gets in, and next thing you know, goofed up. And so that's why if you're a dad in here, man, press in. Press in. Because your kids need you. They need you to show them what trust is, what faithfulness is, amen, what love is, what protection is. They need you. But you know what? Looking around, most of us in here are adults, and maybe that ship has sailed. And you're like, that's not what happened with me. Well, now the Bible says that God will be a father to the fatherless. Doug Jones, one of my Bible school teachers, posted this on Facebook this morning or last night, I don't remember, but it was so good. He said, don't let what's wrong with your life stop you from worshiping what's right with God. Isn't that good? Don't let what's wrong with your life stop you from worshiping what's right with God. Don't let your goofed up dad stop you from having a heavenly father who's going to just rock your world. Amen? Don't let that happen. Train your brain. Train your brain to raise up and say, I'm talking about my heavenly father. The one who's always for me, never against me. The one who's always there, never lets me down. The one who is faithful, the one who watches over me, the one who protects me, the one who helps me, the one who saved me. I'm talking about that Father. Amen? And so the Bible says here in Luke, he says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So I'm part of a flock, that means he becomes my shepherd. I'm part of a family, that means he becomes my father. And then it says you can be part of the kingdom because he's the king. Just in this one verse, we see where God says, listen, I want to be your shepherd. I want to be your father. I want you to be part of the kingdom, and I'm going to be your king. Amen? Isn't that good? God loves you, and he's drawing you in, and he's saying, come, be part of what I have prepared for you. God wants you to belong with the family of God. And you know what? When you belong in the family of God, when you have the real thing, the counterfeit is very obvious. You know, we've said this lots of times, but it's such a good illustration. When you have something real and then you have the counterfeit next to it, it's obvious that it's counterfeit usually. It's obvious, you know, especially with money. You know, anybody that handles a lot of money, like bank tellers or anything like that, when you handle a lot of money and you've got the real thing in your hands, when they train you to see what counterfeit money is, they don't give you a big stack of counterfeit. They don't give you a big stack of counterfeit. They could find it because there's a lot of counterfeit money out there. You know what they do? They put counterfeit in with the real thing. So then when your hands are feeling the real thing and then something fake comes, like, whoa, that feels different. That's not the same. And see, when you're in the family, when you're in the flock, when you're in the kingdom, when you've got the real thing going, and then a counterfeit comes along, you're like, whoa, I don't want to belong wrong. I don't belong there. I don't belong there. I'm part of the family of God. I don't need you to fill up voids in my life with counterfeit stuff. I've got God to fill me all the way up. Amen? That's just good preaching. All right, let's keep going. Turn over to Colossians. This is where I want to get to today. That was all free. Colossians chapter 1. How many have ever had somebody tell you, put it in the right place? Put it where it belongs. Put it where it belongs. And so today I want to talk to you about the body of Christ. We know that we belong in the family. And so here in Colossians 1:18 it says this. And he is the head of the body. Talking about Jesus. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And so it says, and he is the body, he is the head of the body, the church. And so when we're talking about the body of Christ, it means the body as in this church is a body of Christ, but then also the body of Christ, which is every believer in the whole world is part of the body of Christ. But here's what I want us to see. Who's the head? It's not trick. Jesus. Somebody's like, that seems too easy. You're tricking me. No, it's the easy one. Who's the head of the body?
Jesus
is the head of the body. And it says, so he has preeminence. In other words, we could say he's the boss. Jesus is the head. But then also he's the head of the body. Just like when we took communion today, it says his body was broken for us. And so the body is also what it does. Like when we want to know what's the body of Christ supposed to be doing? How many want to know what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing? When we say, what's the body? What are we supposed to be doing as believers, as Christians? What do I do? You do what the body did in the Bible. What did Jesus' body do? The Bible says he walked around doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the enemy. Boom. So you say, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to walk around and do good, lay hands on the sick, pray for people who are oppressed by the enemy, and preach the word. Isn't that what Jesus did? So you say, are you supposed to be doing that? You know, sometimes, you know, some believers are just so caught up in stuff that they forgot what they're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be going around doing good. That's what the body did. And so now that I'm the body of Christ, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. The body is supposed to do what Jesus did. He's the head. But here's where I want us to get. How many of you have ever been to the chiropractor? Right? I don't like the chiropractor. I went to the chiropractor everybody's like, oh, you need to go to the chiropractor. You know, all right, I'll go to the chiropractor. You know, I go to the chiropractor, it's like, I don't like that sound. That sound freaks me out. I'm just not into that. You know, and then I'm like, you can't put on ear things because it's in you. You know, your bones cracking. I mean, it just freaks me out. So I don't go to the chiropractor. But so I'm probably all out of alignment probably. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I am or not. But here's the thing. When you go to the chiropractor, what do? You go there to get aligned. You go there to get everything put back where it goes. And see, in the body, when this today is put it where it belongs. Put put it where it belongs. That's the point I want you to grab. This is your takeaway today. When you're out at lunch and you're talking about what a great message you heard today, I want you to say, put it where it belongs. Because that's what a chiropractor does. And see, that's what the word does. It puts stuff where it belongs. And this word right here, the scripture we just read, is telling you Jesus is the head. But how many of us are living our lives with our hands over our heads? We're grabbing stuff that the head is saying, that's not for you, right? And so when Jesus is not the head of our life, things are not where they belong. And it doesn't work. Now, I heard somebody say the chiropractor feels good. Because when stuff is out of alignment, it results in pain in your life. Pain in your body. If you've got some, like my brother, he was having pain, and he went to the chiropractor. He goes to the chiropractor, true story, and the chiropractor says, you've got two ribs out of place. And so, pop, pop, back go the ribs. But here's the thing, because his ribs were out of place, this other side of his body was compensating for this side of the body, and so he's all goofed up. And now the chiropractor says, listen, I'm going to put these ribs back where they go, but it's probably going to hurt for a couple of days because you've had all this where it doesn't go for so long. And you know, and that's what happens. When you put Jesus where he goes, it hurts for a little while. Because you got to tell these to get back where they go. Whoops. You got to tell, you know, this has been grabbing everything it wants, and now you're like, no, you can't do that. The head's the head. Yeah. Jesus is going to tell us what we can get, what we can't get. Amen. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful because you're used to living life a different way. But how many know when you get all aligned, you feel better? Because when you're out of alignment, your body's in pain. And when your body's in pain, let's say if your foot hurts, it affects your whole body. It affects everything. And when something's out of alignment, it affects the whole body. We can say here today, don't be a pain for the body of Christ. Don't be somewhere you're not supposed to be. Don't have stuff where it doesn't go. We need to get aligned and say, you know what, Jesus, you're the head of my life. You're the head. I want to put stuff where it belongs. Amen? Let's look at another verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2. Let's look there. 1 Corinthians 12, 2. All these are on your Bible app if you want to look there, if you want to make it easy for you. 1 Corinthians 12, 2 says, out of the New Living, it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And so, I've said this lots of times, but it's so good for us to grab a hold of us. Jesus is saying, listen, you're part of a body. And he uses the illustration of a body because we can all relate. How many have a body in here? We all do. So we all know how they work. You know how your body works. So when he says, listen, the body of Christ is made up of many different parts, we got to make sure that all the parts are in the right place. Aren't you? You know, they're doing all kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? When they put one body part, transplants. Yeah, transplants. Thank you, Peanut Gallery. Thank you. I needed that help this morning. Transplants. They're doing all kind of transplants, right? But, you know, you've never heard of a head transplant. Because that's not going to happen. Jesus is a head. And we got to make sure the rest of all the parts are where they go. But, you know, you can get off into goofy land. How many of you have ever been there? Don't raise your hand. You know, we get off into goofy land where we're like, oh, I want to know what part I am. What part of the body am I? Am I the shoulder? Am I the bicep? Am I the finger? Some of you guys are the finger because that's what you do, finger pointing. You know? What part am I? And, you know, nobody's going to name the part of the body you are. That's not in the Bible. You're just part of the body. You got to be your part where God places you. But the most important thing I want to get through our heads today is that Jesus is the head. He's the head. All right, let's keep going. And then over in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part, say part. I'm part of it. But who's the head? Jesus is the head. So I got to make sure I got the right relationship with the head. Now, the other day, I was on the treadmill. For real. I have a witness. And I was on the treadmill, and we were watching this the news. But I don't have my ear thing, so I can't hear anything, and neither can my friend. We can't hear anything. And so there's a picture on the news. Steve, do you have this picture? I didn't know if you had it or not. Not his fault at all. Sometimes we always blame the sound guy for stuff, but totally not his fault. There was a picture on the news, and it was a weasel on the back of a woodpecker. How many saw this picture? Right? It was pretty wild, right? So I'm watching the news, but I can't hear anything. And so it's a weasel. How many know what a weasel is? The thing that pops? Pop goes the weasel? It's on the back of a woodpecker, and the woodpecker's flying. So I see the picture, and I'm like, aw, that is so sweet. That woodpecker is giving that weasel a ride. They must be unusual animal friends. How many have seen that commercial? The unusual animal friends, right? You know? And so I'm thinking, oh, this is great. I'm watching, I'm thinking, oh, this is so sweet, because I can't hear anything. See, you need to have a proper relationship with the head, because here's the thing. Put a pause on the weasel. In our lives, when we're thinking of any trouble you have with other parts of the body, trouble you have with the body, any trouble you have in your life, you can always go back to this. It's a relationship problem with the head. Because from our head, from our brain, goes all the information comes from here. Like your brain sends out a signal and does this, and it takes care of the rest of your body, right? So when we have a proper relationship with the head, which is who? Jesus, everything else is going to work right. Now here, back to the weasel. Later on that day, I'm sitting in Mugs and Muffins, and I said, oh, did anybody see the picture of the weasel on the back of the woodpecker? And I'm like, oh, it's so sweet, right? And then, so somebody pulls it up, and I listened to what they said. You know what that weasel was doing? He was eating the woodpecker. I mean, no, this is a totally different story now. Totally. But you know what? Listen. Here, now listen, this is a good part. When you don't have a proper relationship with your head, because you know what? I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear what was happening. And from your head comes direction. From your head comes information. From the head comes warnings. From the head comes truth. Jesus is going to lead you, guide you, feed you, protect you. He's going to give you the information that you need. And if you don't get that information, you are going to look at things and it's not going to be true. And you're going to fall for stuff and you're going to wind up in places where you don't belong because you don't have the right relationship going on with the head. And so when I saw that picture, I was like, oh, that is the cutest thing. Wow, that's so cute. Why? Because I didn't have a relationship with my head. I couldn't hear. And you know what? Some of us go all through life like that. You don't have Jesus as head, so you can't hear those warnings. And then you're like, why does this keep happening to me? Because you can't hear warnings. Why am I not this? Why is this? Because you can't hear truth. Why this? Why that? Because you don't have the head where it goes. And so you're not getting what you need. And so I want to encourage all of us, let's put Jesus back where he goes. Let's put him where he belongs. He is the head. Because I don't know about you, but I need truth. Because the enemy, he is trying to get me to fall for all kind of stuff. How many have ever heard, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, you don't belong? That's the enemy. But when you have the head where he goes, he's going to remind you, you're part of a flock. You're part of a family. You're part of a kingdom. You're a child of the king. But if the head's not where it goes, you're going to fall for lies. You're going to wind up in pits. And so let's make sure we got a proper relationship with the head. Let's put him where he belongs. Jesus is the boss. And the quicker we make that change, the better every area of our life is going to be. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with him. Amen? Just put him where he goes, and you will find, no matter what lie the enemy has told you, no matter what lie your flesh has told you, truth is, when God is the head, things work out better. Amen? Look back in your life and ask yourself, when I put God first, did things work better? It might have been tough for a short time, just like when you get a line to the chiropractor. You've been you've been leaning on emotion for so long, when you got to make the adjustment back to truth, it's going to be painful. You've been fed by flesh for so long, when you make the adjustment back to Heavenly Father, it's going to be tough for you. But you know what? Once you get aligned, it's going to work out better in the long run. Let's put Jesus where he goes. He's the head. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are so grateful for you and who you are in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that just like we said with communion today, that you are our God who's always ready to give us a fresh start. And we are so thankful for that. We are so thankful that no matter how far we get from truth, no matter how out of alignment we might get, that, Lord, you are always there to receive us, to help us. Your word says that you'll pull us out of the pit and put our foot on the rock and establish our going. And we are so thankful for that. So, Father, today, right now, just all of us here, if you want to join in with this prayer, just in your heart, just be in agreement. Lord, we right now, we want to realign ourselves. We want to make sure that you're the head. So anything that has gotten above you, above the truth, above our relationship with you, whether they are emotions, whether they are flesh, stuff that our flesh wants, whether it's lies that people have told us, or it's just laziness. Anything that's gotten in your place, we just say right now, get out of the place that only Jesus can hold. He is the head of my life. He is my shepherd. He is my father. He is my king. He is the one who leads me, guides me, helps me, directs me, speaks truth to me. Oh, I just thank you that nothing, no lies from the enemy, no lies from society, no lies from my emotions, no lies from my past, no lies from how I was raised, no lies from anything in this world are going to hinder me from making Jesus the head of my life. Jesus, you are the head of this body. You lead me. You guide me. I listen to you. You are my cornerstone, the head. I seek you first in everything. And I glorify you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that in areas where I've gotten off track and gotten other things ahead of you, Lord, I just repent for that. And I thank you that right now I am realigned in Jesus' name. I am realigned in Jesus' name. And by your word and by the Spirit, I will stay in alignment. And if anything starts to slip back where it doesn't belong, oh, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to alert me, to remind me to get aligned. Oh, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the head of our lives. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. 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 Anybody feel like they've been to the chiropractor today? Oh, yeah. It feels good to be in alignment, right? I might give the chiropractor another try. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you got blessed today, got something. When you're talking today about the message, just say, I want to put stuff where it belongs. Amen? I want to put Jesus where he belongs. He's the head. He's the head. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive a huge, stay with me, huge, huge supernatural offering this morning. I just believe it.